Very good. Be like Jesus. We're going to look at the life of Christ these first 2 months, certain aspects of his life that we're going to try to glean some things from and apply to our own life. Knowing who Jesus is will allow you to have greater faith in him. Knowing more about Jesus will help you to live more like him and to talk to others about him. What I've found in many churches is while we acknowledge there's a Jesus, and we would actually probably say, yeah, I believe in him, we know very little about him, really, when we think. We know the basics. It's kind of like Frosty the Snowman. What do you know? He's a snowman, right? It's obvious. But what else do you know? What do you really know about Jesus? So this year, we're spending 2 months on the life of Christ. We're also going to be putting together a virtual Israel tour, because most of us aren't able to go to Israel, at least probably this next year either. A virtual tour of Israel using video, articles, maps, etc. It'd be the same tour that if you were to go with the church to Israel. Each day there'll be 3 or 4 stops, something like that, and there'll be all kinds of information for you to glean, not only about Israel, about Judaism, but about the life of Christ. I found that those three areas are really lacking in the American church. We know just a surface level bit of information about all three of those. So hopefully this fall we'll have that ready to go for you. But we're going to look at the life of Christ, and particularly the idea of being like Jesus. We're going to look at the priorities of his life. We're going to look at some of the character qualities of his life. One author said these are the essential habits of what it means to be a Christian. The essential habits. And in fact, the one author that I've been reading a lot about has studied through the Gospels. And by the way, you're reading through the Gospels using a harmony approach this year. Again, why? To learn about who? Jesus. As he studied through there, he looked at what are the things that Jesus did over and over and over and over. For example, you might say prayer. You might say he showed forgiveness or compassion. So during this series, we're going to look at the big eight, if you will, the things that are really true of Jesus that should be true in our lives as we mature as Christians, and for sure as we begin a new year, we would like these to be growing characteristics within all of our lives. So this year, for both the church corporately and you personally, I want you to take a quantum leap. Okay, a quantum leap when you were 13 could be from here to maybe that table. Now it's like, that's a quantum leap for some of us. That's about all the energy and elasticity in our joints we have. But I want you to move from where you currently are to somewhere that you might describe as more mature in your faith. In other words, you are more like Jesus. Not that you know more about him, but that you're more like him. So right now, think, if you had to change something in your life, and you just get to pick one area, it could be one specific thing, could be one broad category. One thing you could change so that people would look at you and say, you're a lot like Jesus because of this. Okay? What would that area or that thing be? If you had to grow in 2022 in one area or in one thing, so that at the end of the year when people looked at you and they talked about you, they would say, you are a lot like who? Jesus. You'll never be perfect, not in this world. But God's intent is you become more and more. Very good way to pick up on that. By the end of February, I'm sure if I point there, you will all respond. Okay, we want you to be like Jesus. Otherwise, what are you in church for? Good question. Why do you go to home groups? Why do you go to youth group? If it's not to be more like Jesus, you're just being religious. And God doesn't take kindly to people who are just religious. In fact, the Lord condemned just people, or condemned people who were just religious. We need to have a growing faith relationship in Him. So think about it. What is that one area? Think about it. If you got some paper, you might jot that down. What would you change to be more like Him? And then to go with that question, what do you have to do in order for that to change? And don't say something really lame like, oh, it takes a miracle, ha, ha, ha. Immature, we want more of a mature thought. What would you have to do to change? I talked with one guy this past week who wanted to be more active in sharing his faith. Okay? In about the 15 years that person has attended this church and in our conversations, that is the first time the person has ever said something like that. Because there was a growing awareness last year that we need to be active in what? Sharing our faith. Talked with another guy this week who said they want to grow in the area of tithing. Has been a Christian for a number of years, but does not practice regular tithing. How do we grow in these areas? So, A, what area do you have to would you want to change? B, what do you need to do to change? What's your first what step in doing so? Take a moment and just think about that. I mean, really, there's no point in me going on any further until we think about it. Because in 2022, God has given this group of people here an incredible opportunity. It's called life. Did you see how many people in just the last week, and even some famous people, died? They never got to see 2022. Do you realize that a new year is a tremendous gift? Even if you get one day in this year, that's one more day than maybe what Betty White had, right? So what would you change to be more like who? And what would have to change? Now, if you need help in that area, the church staff and elders, we would love to work with you. But if you don't think about it personally, the reality is nothing's going to what? Nothing will change if you don't first give some thought to it. So that's the idea behind this whole series. Do you remember this famous commercial? It took place a little over 30 years ago. On August 8th, what's the year? How many of you were not alive on that date? Look at that. Okay. Now think about it. This commercial first aired on August 8th, 1991. Gatorade teamed up with Nike and ran an ad campaign encouraging people to be like Mike. Mike who? Michael Jordan, considered to be the greatest basketball player of all time. Do you remember this? Is there anybody that has not seen that? You just did. Okay, but probably a good third to half of you had never seen that before, and that's amazing. The I Want to Be Like Mike campaign swept not just the United States. It went viral, if you will, and that's before the internet. It went everywhere in the world. Kids sang it. Teens sought it. Dedicated their lives to be like Mike. Adults said those words, whether in the corporate world, whether in the shop, or whether working alongside the road. Everybody wanted to be a superstar. It really brought the idea of being an athletic superstar into mainstream. That video is the most famous of all sports commercials and the most famous jingle of all time. Think of some of the things that you've grown up with. That's the number one thing. Number one, you want to be like who? Do you? Don't you want to make $40 million a year off endorsements? His shoes were the first named shoe with somebody's name on it. sold for like up to $200. People actually got mugged and killed on the streets of our big cities for their shoes because everybody wanted to be like who? Be like Mike. Now, is there anything wrong with wanting to be like Mike? You got to think about that. And hopefully you're a thinking Christian that when you watch something on the internet or TV or read it in some sort of publication, you need to ask this question. Why are they selling this to me? What do they want from me? See, the subliminal message is this, that if you drink Gatorade and buy those expensive shoes, you will be a success just like who? Isn't that true? Think of all the commercials that are out there. They're not trying to entertain you. They want to entertain you, but more importantly, they want something from you. And it used to be in our country that they wanted your dollars. Do you realize that? Dollars has now gone from, by far it was number one in the last 30 years, to they want your allegiance. They want to capture your mind whether you buy the product or not. They want to own a piece of you. You better think when you watch TV. They're not there just being nice guys trying to entertain you. They want to own you. And if they can get your money in the process, great. That's the power of commercials and what we would say simple jingles. They have the ability to implant themselves here because they come in through your ears and through your eyes, and your brain is a little what? Computer. All data comes in and it will stay. Remember that. I want to be like Mike went global. Went global. We're talking several billion people in the 90s were chanting those words. I wanna what? Be like Mike. So today, whenever you push your remote, and that remote could be to your TV, it could be to some electronic device, or you're hitting the keypad, it's bombarding you with this message. We want you to be like something or somebody. Thinking Christians, especially those who are parents and grandparents, will help their children and grandchildren realize that it's all make-believe. They want something from you, and it's not just your money. It's your allegiance, and that means your loyalty to them or at least your thoughts about them. Wouldn't you agree? They want you, hopefully, buy a car, a product, game. They want you to follow somebody on Twitter or on Facebook. True? These people look so intelligent, don't they? You would, too, if you dressed up and you rehearsed and you had a teleprompter. Look at our past presidents, okay? They're not all that bright. They're told what to say, and they're told what to say to capture who? You. You better get used to thinking that way, because that is reality. The media, our culture, wants you to be somebody. And they're going to craft who that somebody is. So here's a picture up on the screen. Now, please go back. Thank you. This picture is cute. It can be used to communicate something very harmless. For example, how many of us have not dressed up and said, I want to be like somebody? Act like somebody. I told you the story when I was a little kid. I had a towel. I was up on top of my garage. I had just got done watching Superman. I knew no better. I went running the length of my garage as my mother's doing dishes going, and I dove off. The only thing that saved me was a big old bush that I landed in. You see, really, what's wrong with the me I want to be? Isn't that what our culture teaches you? Dream, hope, you can reach for the stars and be whatever you want to be. The problem is they're defining what they want you to be. The average person gives no more thought to that. We simply put on a towel, run across the garage roof, and jump mindlessly into whatever they're asking us to be. That's the problem with media in today's culture. It's not harmless anymore. The danger is very subtle when you look at this picture. It's a subliminal message. You say, what's wrong with that? It's a pronoun. It's one letter. It's the same letter that is the middle letter in the word pride and the middle letter in the word sin. What's that letter? It's I. You see, the problem here is the me I want to be. And there used to be a day in America when we could dream and we could hope and we could scheme and be what we wanted to be because that had a moral base to it. That is no longer the case. In our schools, at all level, there's an underlying current to be what we tell you to be. That's the I. Because the schools and our government are shaping your thoughts, your character, your behavior. So that looks good if the I is biblical, if the I is centered around a morality that is in line with Scripture. But if the I is simply you, we know that we're sinners. Would you agree? We're sinners. Self-centered. So the I always becomes what I want and to heck with everybody else. We have an abortion problem in our country. Would you agree? Why do people do that? Because it's an easy way out for who? Them. Me. You see, in all of our cultural problems, there's an I problem. It's what I want. To heck with you. So when we look at something like this, the I better be based upon the Bible and it better have a moral foundation that is in agreement with Scriptures and ideally have a role model. Can you get a better role model than Jesus? Hey, I would take Gideon at this point over what our culture has given us. Always be careful of your role models. And parents and grandparents, that's a discussion to have with your children. Who is your role model? What is their morality? Is anyone perfect? No. But we need to be edging towards the Bible and not what? Away from it. American culture says this, it will make you like someone or somebody to be like. Think about that. Think about this statement. American culture says it will make you like someone or somebody to be like. Do you catch that? It's a little play on words. Think deeply about that. You get enough money, everybody will want to be like who? You. Just think of what the world communicates to us. But you've got to ask yourself, ultimately, as a Christian and a thinking Christian, where does that philosophy line up with the Bible? Here's what Jesus said in Mark 8 and verse 36. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their own what? Their own soul. You see, you could spend all of your life chasing the dreams and schemes of this world to the very end of your life. And we'll throw the name Betty White out one more time. She was much loved, the media says. She did some good things, the media says. And she probably did. She was very popular, we all know. Very wealthy, true? What good is it for somebody to gain the whole world, yet what? forfeit their own soul. So as we begin this series, I want you to think about where you are and where God wants you to be, and more importantly, who you are and the type of person that God wants you to be. Our series is Be Like Jesus. Now, Mark Edwards, our missionary in Costa Rica, has used this phrase for a lot of years in all of his devotional writings, in all of his training down in Latin America. He encourages them, which is the people in Latin America, because they're a very religious culture, much more religious than America is. He's encouraging those people not to be like the version of what the churches there tell you to be like, but be like one person, Jesus, a role model. And he's had great success pointing Latinos towards Jesus and away from established religion and away from what the government or certain political parties, socialist and communist parties, who are rampant in Latin America. He's had great success by elevating Jesus. The more we elevate Jesus, the more we will attract people to him. The more we elevate Jesus, the more we become like him. So this year, a quantum leap in your Christ-likeness, in our church's likeness to who Jesus is. The Apostle Paul understood this. He grew up religious. He lived in a really diverse religious culture. There was Jews, all sorts of pagan idols, etc., and religions. Paul rejected everything that they said you need in order to be a success. Do you realize the Roman government believed that Caesar and practiced and promoted that Caesar, the Caesar of the Roman Empire, was God? Now, if you haven't taken a lot of ancient history, you probably don't know that. You not only had your little corner gods, the Caesar himself was God, and you had to bow and what? Worship him. That's why Christians were thrown to the lions. It's not because they believed in Jesus. They said Jesus is the one true God. The Roman government said we are the one true God. There may be some similarities between the American culture and the Roman Empire today. You get yourself in trouble as a Christian if you waffle in what you worship. And you'll get yourself in trouble as a Christian if you worship the one true God, because there's all these other gods out there that want your worship, including Nike, Gatorade, Kellogg's cereal. Everybody wants a piece of who? You. They want your loyalty. So, the Apostle Paul rejected materialism, social prestige, and the voices of culture that tried to lure him and fellow believers to their gods. Now, in Greek mythology, anybody ever study that? Do some reading? I know at Maple Valley for a period of time they had a course on mythology. There was a group of women called the Sirens. Do you remember them? Beautiful women with amazing voices. And they would lure a particular type of person, a male, towards them. Now, if you had a herd of oxen or sheep out in the middle of the country somewhere, you'd never hear their voices. Who did they try to lure? Sailors. You remember reading the story? And in Homer's The Odyssey, we learn about this. And American culture is saying virtually the same thing they did. Come closer. Join us. And it's very subtle. But forget the journey you're on. It's not that important, Christian. Be like us. Can you hear the world saying that to your children at school? Yes? Some of us need to probably really wake up to that regard. That does not mean all public schools are terrible or that every public school teacher is bad. But there is an element, would you agree, of what they promote in certain teachers that have no use for God that continually ask Christian children, forget your mission, forget your journey, come and believe what we what? Practice what we practice. Here is what Paul wrote in Philippians 3:8. This is from the Message. very religious guy that when he came into faith, he had a wake up when he said, you know what? The whole world is trying to draw me to be like them and end up in hell. God is trying to rescue me and pull me away from the siren's call, if you will. And Paul said this, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Now, if you know the story of Philippians, what Paul's telling us, everything that was important to me, I gave up. It's not like somehow he was a big loser. He voluntarily walked away from wealth, from power, from prestige, from positions of influence, from gaining stuff. He walked away from it. It goes on. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as what? Do you see that? Whose master? He's going to be my master, not the government, not the schools, not my work, not my bank account, not the land I own, not my toys, not even my family, trying to live to please them all the time. He says this, Jesus and Jesus alone is my what? Master. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Paul in Romans 8:29 says this. This is from the New Living Translation. For God knew his people in advance. He chose them. Now get this. He chose them. You got that? For from the very beginning. We have a different version up there. I'll read my version. New Living Translation. For God knew his people in advance. He chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Paul says, I gave it all up because God's plan for my life is to become like Jesus. So, I've said this before in church. How many of you looked in the mirror today? Or a pane of glass on the way into church? Vast majority of us. When you look in the mirror, here's a play on words again. Do you see the person that Jesus died for? Even as church people. You looked in the mirror this morning. You looked in the glass as you came in. Looked in the mirror of the bathroom. Do you see the person that Jesus died for? Now remember, what kind of person did he die for? Sinners. Think on this. He didn't die for saved people. He died for who? Sinners. When you look in the mirror, do you see the sinner that Jesus died for? I mean, you see your life. I'm still living in sin. I'm still talking like I'm a sinner. My attitudes, the way I handle my possessions, it's all like the world. Is that who you see? Or do you increasingly see the one that he died for? Jesus died knowing what you could become and what you could be like. Do you catch that? There should be a growing difference in our life from who we were to who God wants us to what? He wants us to be like Jesus. One author said this, the Bible was not written to satisfy your curiosity. Now, we are doing a Bible reading plan this year. It's a great plan. It was not written to satisfy your curiosity, but get this, to conform you to Christ's image. The Bible is not to make you a smarter sinner, but to make you more like the Savior who died for your sins. It is not to fill your head with a bunch of information, but to bring about transformation of life that honors God and helps others. So when you do your Bible reading plan, don't just what? Check it off. You got to ask yourself, do I think this way? Am I becoming like this? Am I using this to do something significant for him and for others? To be like Jesus implies you have a relationship with him. You can't be like Jesus if you're not saved. So are you saved today? That's a good starting point for the first of the year, isn't it? This is what year? 2022. In 2022, I had a great awakening in my life. Not 2022, I take that back. 1972. How many years ago is that? 50, a lot. 50 years ago is when God first broke through into my hard, sinful head and my heart. 50 years ago. You can't be like Jesus if you don't surrender your life to Jesus. So we have three symbols that I'm going to show you. And if you printed off the notes, they're there in color. In order to have a relationship with them, we here at Grace talk about the A, B, C's. First, there you go. Be like Jesus. You cannot be like Jesus unless A, and you might want to write this in your notes, admit that you are a sinner. To admit something means you take blame for it. That's right. That's who I am. That's what God says I am. We have to admit that we're a sinner. Then we have to be what? Believe in Jesus. You have to believe in Jesus, which means you commit your life to Him. No longer do you hold on to it like Gollum in the Lord of the Rings trilogy is going, "My precious, my precious." We have to believe in Him with all of our being, surrender our allegiance to Him. Admit that you're a sinner. Be as what? Believe in Him. That's not just say there's a God. It's submit yourself to Him. And then see, you have to choose to live to honor Him from that day forward. And that's a daily choice that you make. That's ABCs. That's what it means to have a relationship with Him. It's very simple. I've always said the Christian life is the easiest thing in the world. All you have to do is get from here down to your knees. How hard is that? I don't even know what the distance is here. It's 18 inches maybe. You just got to drop that much. It's also the hardest thing to do to tell yourself, I no longer want to live life my way. I want to live life His way. That makes the 18-inch drop exceedingly difficult. But you can't be like Jesus until you have said your alphabet. Let's just put it that way. You have another graph there. To reorder our lifestyle around Him, then, we have to be aware of who He is. I love this little triangle there. I just like shapes that mess with my thinking. There are three aspects to your Bible reading. If I'm going to be like Jesus, I have to know Jesus. The only way I can know Jesus is I pick up His Word. Now, here's what happened today. I went to pick up my study Bible, and this is what happened to it. It exploded on me. Okay? God knows that I can glue this back together. But that's what happened to my study Bible. But if you take my study Bible and you go through here, you're going to see all kinds of underlining, colors, markings as I've studied His life for the past 50 what? For the past 50 years. Sometimes it's just better to have one of these with the Bible. Because, well, it could do this, but not as likely over time. Now, here's the deal. When you look at God's Word, you have to understand the content. You cannot be like Jesus if you don't read the Bible. How much you read is between you and Him. We tried to give you a Bible reading plan this year that will help you. But you've got to get into the content. No reading, no being like Him. It's that simple. The second aspect at the bottom is you have to know the culture. The culture of the biblical times. That means you've got to go a little deeper. And that's why the Scriptures never just tell you to casually read. It tells you to study, to show yourself approved. You've got to understand the Jewish culture, the Greek culture, the Roman culture, a little bit. And there's so many resources today. If you've got any connection to the internet, you can look up a word or two from Scripture and get the entire meaning of it. And the third aspect of Bible reading is context. And that means if I read one verse, don't ever base what you believe on one verse. Look at what it said previously and what follows. That's context. three simple C words, if you will, to understanding your Bible. In order to what? To be like Jesus. A, B, C. You can't be like Jesus if you don't know Jesus personally. And number two, you can't really grow in your faith and reorder your life and do a change from here to there if you're not in God's Word. The last little symbol I'm going to show you is this. Now, they use this symbol in this training in virtually every field known to humanity today. It's called head, heart, hands. To make a change in your life, you have to think differently than the way you currently think. Any of you want to lose weight? Nobody. Well, we'll need a new church because you're all going to die along with me if we don't lose some weight. Okay, you want to lose weight? Start thinking skinny. Don't think chubby. It's a simple process. But if your mind never makes the switch in its thinking, you'll remain who you are, no matter how much you whine about it. Then you have to move from here to here. That now I have to feel like I'm skinny and not chubby. I have to want to be that way, not just mouth the words, I wish I could lose some weight. Have to start thinking different about how you eat, the calories you consume, the amount of exercise you do, about your medical treatment. Then you have to prioritize that in your life because that then fleshes out to your lifestyle, illustrated by your hands. It's impossible to change your life if you only operate in two of those areas or one. You can't change your life. It's not going to happen, at least not for very long. There's a number of passages that talk about the importance of your mind, controlling your mind, getting to your mind to think differently. As we talk about the Christian life, you have to begin to think more like and less like you. Less like the world. Less like what the schools teach you. Less like what the government says. If you want to be godly, you have to think like Jesus. And you can only think like Jesus if you open up your exploded Bible from time to time and what? And read it. 3 days you can go without water, they say, and the average person will what? Will die. Do you love God enough to pursue Him? Because if you don't, you will die. You go 3 days without water, you're pretty much going to die. How long will it take for you spiritually to die if you're not in God's what? Word. How long will it take for your family to decay if you're not in God's Word? It's very simple. So here's a few characteristics as I thought about my life. This has nothing to do with you unless you want to jump on my gravy train. Here's my life for 2022. Here's what I want to grow in during the new year. Now, if I'm honest, and I'm going to be very honest with you right now, when I look in a mirror, okay, when I look in the mirror, I do see some traces of Jesus in my life. And I'm sure you do too, if you're truly a believer. Would you agree? I am not perfect, neither are you. So I'm very honest. I do have some traces of Jesus in my life. But if I'm like this dude, we all look good when we're this far away from the mirror. Get closer and closer and closer and closer to the mirror and ask yourself, who do you look like? Are you just kidding yourself, thinking you're doing well as a Christian? Or are you going to be honest and say, you know, I've got some major areas. Most of us, when we look at a mirror, it's like looking at our life spiritually. It's like looking in a mirror in the bathroom that's all foggy. Have you ever done that? Sin and selfishness blur our image. They trick us to believe we're better than what we are. And in reality, you want to see who you are? Get a dry cloth and get rid of the fog, the sin and the selfishness. Now you get a good glimpse of who you are. All I want to be in 2022, come December, is a little bit better than what I am entering the year. How about you? Now, in what areas? That's great. How do we do that? What does that look like? And I told somebody this past week, the nice thing about the Christian life, every day is a new start. You ever have a day that just sucked? And I know you shouldn't use the word day in church. Think deeply about that comment. Okay, where you just said, I blew it. I'm a waste. What am I doing alive? The next day you wake up and the sun's up again. God's going, come on, boy. Get out of bed. You can do this. That's the great thing about being a Christian. And we have a whole new year if God gives it to you, but at least we've got a start to it. You've managed to live what? Is today the second or the third? Oh, okay, you live 2 days. I'm a day ahead of myself. Wow! You've accomplished something, and God's up there cheering for you. He wants you to be better at the end of the year than what you currently are. Here's 5 areas I'm working on in my life. See if these resonate with any of you. If they do, and you say, I would like help in that area, or I would like to join you on your journey in one of those areas, see me, Facebook me, text me. I would be glad to have some fellow sojourners in 2022. Otherwise, I'm going it alone. Over the next 8 weeks, we're going to give you 8 principles, 1 principle a week to grow in. But here's my commitment to me and God this year. First and foremost, I want to... When I thought of Jesus, here's the 5 thoughts that popped into mind. Number 1, Jesus was a worshiper. Luke 4:16 says he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up on the Sabbath day, and he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. Jesus talked about the Lord. He thanked the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. He prayed to the Lord. He studied the Lord's word. He fellowshiped with the Lord's people, if you will, and he pointed the Lord out to others. All of that is worship. Notice I didn't say a single word about singing a song, did I? There's nothing in the Bible, at least that I can find, where Jesus was singing Amazing Grace or something else. He did all those things. All those things are worship. So one of the areas I'm going to grow in myself and I'm committed to is to be a worshiper of Him. Now, this is one of the reasons Lisa and I put together this Bible reading plan. It's a chronology, step by step through the Gospels, following Jesus. You really can't be like Jesus if you don't know how he lived his life. And the idea here is that you just learn about his life, and as you look at a passage, you say, Jesus did that, now what will I do? That is a form of worship that I'm going to grow in this year, is a chronology of a reading of the life of Jesus in the Gospels, and later at the end of the year, we attach the book of Acts on there so that we can see how Jesus' life then lived out through the early church. Jesus, first and foremost, was a worshiper. Any of you want to grow in worship? If you need help, see Lisa or see myself. We will be glad to walk with you in that path. Number 2, Jesus was a worker. John 17:4, Jesus said this, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. He was a worker. What does that mean? A lot of people look at that verse and they say, well, Jesus died for the sins of the world. He hasn't died yet when he's saying those words. What's the work he had to do? You read all the way through John 17, the Lord entrusted some individuals to him. Jesus spent 3 years investing his life in them, so that when he left, they could carry on the movement. That's called disciple making. In the past 5 years, I've really invested my life in a number of the men of the church, helping them to grow in their faith, to understand their faith, to be able to proclaim their faith to others. I'm going to do the same in 2022. I could say this, you know, I'm getting old. I'm nearly 100. Why should I have to do this? That's because God saved me to do this, as He saved you. So I'm looking for a couple of men that want to be mentored, that would like to grow in their faith, be better Christian family men, better Christian businessmen, students. It doesn't matter. If you want to grow in your faith as a disciple, let me teach you how to be a worker like Jesus was. Because Jesus worked in his Father's harvest field, bringing people to spiritual maturity. So that's my goal. I'm looking for a handful of men this year, could be high school boys, whatever it is, to help them grow during this coming year. If you're interested, see me. Lisa would do the same with any of the women of the church. We can never say we're retired. Now, Evie has just retired from work after 41 years, but she cannot retire from God's service. You understand that? That's why God saved us. So, work hard this year, but work in terms of helping others to become like Jesus. Third thing, Jesus was a witness. Colossians 1, verse 15, it says this, speaking of Jesus, the Son is the image of the invisible God. The Son is the... You want to know what God's like? Look at who? Jesus. Hebrews 1, verse 3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. What does it mean that I want to be a witness? I'm not talking about sharing my faith with people. What I'm saying is this. At the end of 2022, I want somebody, whether they say it verbally or not, they would think, you know what? He's become more like Jesus this year. That's what I would hope. I want to be a witness. I want to represent God to people. I don't want to represent a political party. I don't want to represent this church. I want to represent who? God. And Jesus is our role model. If you would like help in that area, see us. You see, our Christian life is not about perfection. It's about our progression. You'll never be perfect, but you can move from here to where? There, by the end of the year. If you want help in that, we will help you. Now, I chose this word just to stump Nick and Tim Reed and a few other people. Because I love to alliterate, which means everything starts with the same letter or ends with the same sound. You say, that annoys me. I know, and I love it. I love that I have that chance to do that. I was going to choose the word wanderer, but wanderer means that you're just willy-nilly going everywhere with no purpose. And then the Lord said there's a word called wayfarer. It's not typically something Americans would use in our lifespan today, but up through about 1950s, the word was quite prevalent. A wayfarer, is one who intentionally and purposefully moves from here to there. They're not just wandering willy-nilly. They're intentional. They're purposeful. And here's what it says about Jesus. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those that were lost. He was very purposeful, very intentional in the way He lived His life. This year, I'm going to be a wayfarer. As long as I'm alive, I'm going to find people that don't know Jesus, and I'm going to open my mouth and talk with them. It may be at first just start a conversation. Nick and I and their son Braylon, we were at McDonald's this week. We spend the big money when we eat. And we started a conversation with the waitress who brought us our food and also a bunch of older people who are at the next table. That's how you start to get to the point where you can share your faith. You have to get to know what? People. And you can't do that if you keep your mouth closed. I want to grow in that area, sharing my faith with others. Lastly, Jesus was a warrior. He was a warrior. Acts 10:38. Now, He didn't go around with a sword or a mace and, you know, bang on people or cut them up. Acts 10:38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And He went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with Him. Jesus attacked aggressively Satan and sin. He was a warrior. He didn't just exist to take a paycheck or to retire to a condo in Florida. His sole purpose was to help others who are under attack from Satan and sometimes their own stupid, selfish, sinful choices. Jesus was a good guy. People ask me downtown, like, non-Christian, tell me about Jesus. He was a good guy. That's what I got to say about him. I'm not going to get into deep theological conversation. I just simply sum up his life. He was a good guy, probably the best guy that's ever lived on planet Earth. Would you like to know more? Was that offensive to you? He was a warrior. He saw the world as a dark, a corrupt place, and one that is hurting, one that is lost. And he went flying into that world to make a difference. I don't have that many more years left in my calendar, my life calendar. I'd like to make them count. How about you? You can't do that if you just live for yourself. We can make a big difference in this church, through this church, in the lives of other people. Our Bible reading plan is going to enable you to get to know Jesus so that the end result is you will what? You will be like Jesus. And you'll be able to help people and be able to tell people more about Him. At the end of 2022, Lisa, mental note, we're going to have a mirror up here for people to come up, look in the mirror, and then say to the rest of you, let me tell you how my life changed this year. I don't care if it's one person here that can truthfully say, let me tell you how I shared my faith. Let me tell you how I gave up a habit. Let me tell you how our family was on the rocks, but yet that message in January challenged us to live better. It's going to be a fun end of the year. I hope you're still here. But we're going to have a mirror. Got that, Lise? Gatorade put together the Be Like Mike campaign. Do you realize that was a last second idea, that jingle? That was not what they were originally going to use. They were instead going to use a song that many of you have seen if you've ever watched The Jungle Book. Okay? You know the song I'm talking about? Yeah. That was what they were originally going to use. Disney gave them a hard time, and they just said, to heck with that, we're going to come up with something short, sweet, and simple, and they came up with a jingle you saw, and it's the most popular thing ever in sports commercial history. It got across the point. You can be like Mike. I will have failed today if I haven't challenged you to be like Jesus. Father, for our people today, we ask that you speak into our life. And we want to be like Jesus, and dang it, it's so hard sometimes. We start, we stop. It's like a New Year's resolution. But Lord, as a body of believers, we can support one another, encourage one another in our personal growth. I want to grow in these five areas this year. And I hope as our people come back the next 8 weeks, they will pick up a new area that may challenge them specifically so that they would want to be like Jesus in 2022. Lord, we love you. We are grateful to you. So in the next minute, Lord, as we sit here quietly, speak to every man and woman's heart here. How should they change to honor you?